today's daf was Pesachim daf Samach Beis. There were three topics on today's daf. The first topic was to go back to the machlokas we had in yesterday's daf, machlokas hamaroyim. If you have a person who shechs the Korban Pesach l'shem, regular people that are allowed to be part of the Korban Pesach, but then he does the zrika for arelim. He does the zrika only for people who don't have a bris milah. So is that going to be kosher or not? So Rav Chista said in yesterday's daf it's pasul. Rabbi says it's kosher. We had one explanation of why that is so. What's the basis of the machlokas in yesterday's daf? Then today's daf we have an additional explanation on the machlokas. The pasuk says, "V'nirtza lo l'chapera lov," and we darshan a lov v'lo al chavero, that you have to do the zrika for the right person, not for the wrong person. But the Gemara darshans that Rabba holds that when does it pasul if you're doing it for the wrong person? If that wrong person would have been eligible to be the right person, but if the wrong person happens to be in Arel where he couldn't even be eligible to be the one who's bringing the Korban Pesach, then it would not be a psul of a lov v'lo al chavero. That's how Rabba understands. Rav Chista would say, what do you mean he's not eligible? Even an Arel is eligible to bring Korban Pesach. All he has to do is give himself a bris milah first, and then he can bring a Korban Pesach. So it's called that he is eligible, and he's therefore included in that drasha. And the second topic of the daf was to go back to the brisa that we learned in Samach Aleph on Beis, and specifically the line in the brisa that says that Hovel va'arla poseles v'tuma poseles, that since arla pasels and tuma pasels a carbon, matuma lo asaba mixas tuma kikol tuma, af arla lo asaba mixas ala kikol arla. That just like by tuma, we don't treat partial tuma like entire tuma, so too by arla, we don't treat partial arla like entire arla. So the Gemara said, well, what does that mean by tuma, we don't treat partial tuma? What kind of tuma are we talking about? So the Gemara says, must be that we're talking about tumas basar, that if part of the meat of the carbon becomes tameh, that part is no good, the rest of the carbon is still okay. So the Gemara has two questions on that, and to each question the Gemara has two answers. First question on it is, how can you say it's talking about tumas basar? The Braisa then goes on to say that something unique about the tuma element is that it's eino noheg bekolas vachim, that the tuma is not, the problem of tuma is not true by all karbanos. If the problem of tuma is talking about that the meat itself is tameh, that would be a problem by every karban. That's not something that's not noheg by all karbanos. So how can it be talking about tumas basar? It must be talking about the tuma of the owner of the karban. So the Gemara says, maybe enachinami, it switches, now it's talking about the tuma of the owner of the karban. Or maybe no, maybe it's talking about tumas basar, and it's not noheg im karban pesach the same way it is by every other karban. Because by every other karban, even if all the basar is tameh, as long as the chelev is not tameh, you could still bring the karban. But when it comes to the karban pesach, if the basar is tameh, since there's so much focus on eating the karban pesach, if the basar is tameh, then all bets are off. The second problem with saying that the tumah that we're talking about is tumas basar is that the braisa goes on to say that the tumah is hutar michlala. That once in a while, we'll forget about the tumah problem and we'll just let it go. Well, where do you ever forget about a tumah problem when the basar itself is tameh? When do we forget about a tumah problem? By the Korban Pesach, when the bailim, when the owners, when the people are tameh, we say if it's rov of klal Yisrael, we forget about it, we allow the Korban Pesach to be brought. But when do we ever just ignore a tumah problem in the basar? So Gemara says, maybe enachinami, when it talks about tumah over there, it's talking about the bailim. Or the second answer is, maybe sometimes we do forget about the tumah of the basar. Because when the bailim are tameh, and we allow the Korban Pesach to be brought by tumah, we even allow it to be brought with tameh basar. And then the third section of the daf was just the story. The Gemara tells the story of about Sefer Yuchsin, that Rabbi Simlai came to Rabbi Yochanan and he wanted to learn Sefer Yuchsin, and Rabbi Yochanan said, well, you're from Lud and you live in Narda, so those are the only two rules about Sefer Yuchsin. You can't teach it to people from Lud or from Narda. No way. So he said, but come on, please teach it to me. So he was about to teach it to him. He said, okay, I have 3 months. I set aside to learn it. So he threw dirt at him and he said, are you kidding me? 3 months? Burya was way smarter than you are, and she could have learned it in 3 years. So there's no way you're not going to be able to learn in 3 months. So as he was on his way out the door, and the whole reason the Gemara quotes this whole story, as he was on his way out the door, he said, oh, by the way, what's the difference between l'shmo v'shalo l'shmo and l'yochla v'shalo l'yochla? When it comes to having in mind l'shmo v'shalo l'shmo, that's puzzle. But when it comes to having in mind both people who can eat a carbon and who can't eat a carbon, that's going to be kosher for some reason. So he says, well, there are four differences. Number one, l'shmo v'shalo l'shmo is a psul in the gufa carbon. Shalo l'yochla is not. Number two, shalol lishmo is ef shalavar risuro. You can't clarify where the problem is. Shalol liochlav, you can identify which piece is going to the guy who's not allowed to eat it. Number three, Shalol Lishmo is a problem that would apply to all four avodos. Shalol Yochlov does not apply to all four avodos. And number four, Shalol Lishmo is a problem by a carbon tzibur, the same way it's a problem by a carbon yachid. Shalol Yochlov is only a problem by a carbon yachid, not by a carbon tzibur. And the Gemara just finishes off the story by telling us just how much was in Sefer Yuchsin, that in a tiny little passage in Divrei Hayamim, there were enough drushes to load up 400 camels with, just from Sefer Yuchsin alone. That's how impressive this Sefer Yuchsin was. Okay.